Thank you for listening to the Grace Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you hear in today's message the love Christ has for you. As an Episcopal church, Grace has deep roots in the Anglican tradition, while also seeking to be a fresh and vibrant expression of this sacramental liturgical faith. We hope through the ministry of Grace Church, you will not only know the truth that God's love is for everyone, really no exceptions, but that you would also live out that truth in your life. Visit us online at www.graceyukon.org for service times and information about our ministries.
Jesus, let me be what you make of me, while you be what I love. Amen. Well, some of you know that when Kirsten and I were in seminary, our first year of seminary, we traveled to Myanmar in Southeast Asia. You might know that country by another name of Burma. You may have even heard about it over the last year as they've had lots of protests going on against their government, which is not exactly a democratically elected government, though the generals do wear suits. But that's another story. But Kirsten and I visited in January of 2009. It was just a couple months after Cyclone Nargis had hit Myanmar. And a country that was already impoverished and with a really poor infrastructure, you know, that cyclone just made everything worse. They don't have a National Weather Service there, and so lots of people didn't know that that cyclone was coming. Thousands of people just disappeared in the floodwaters. Whole villages were washed away, homes destroyed. One day we were traveling with the bishop in that particular diocese that we were in and with one of his deacons who kind of served as our guide. We were in some of the more remote villages in that area, and I just saw some of the poorest living conditions I've ever seen in my life, and that I could, is probably humanly imaginable, like a raised bamboo huts with incomplete walls, no windows and doors, families with so few possessions, you wonder how they got by day to day. But in the midst of this poverty and devastation, this recovery from the cyclone, We got to go to church. We went to the center of the village with the bishop and the deacon, where the community was gathered for worship. And man, could they sing like you would not believe. They belted out beautiful harmonies, very similar in style to shape note singing, which is a really common form of singing in the Appalachia area of in our own country. Has anybody heard shape note singers before? A few people? It's a very unique form of singing and belting, very unique harmonies, you know, with consonants and dissonance all at the same time. It's very unique, and that's what it sounded like in Myanmar, a little bit like that. They sang some familiar tunes like Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, sometimes in English, sometimes they were singing in their local language. But those harmonies and the prayers that were lifted up together and just the conversations about faith that we listened to, through all of it, one thing was really clear, that despite the challenges, there was an overwhelming sense of trust among the people. They trusted God to care for them and to provide for them. When we prayed, give us this day our daily bread, they really meant it in a literal way. And I was amazed at the faithfulness and the trust that that community showed. And the ways that kind of the larger church, like from different areas and some that had been less devastated, how they cared for one another and made sure that nobody was going hungry and that people were getting shelter and some of the basic things that they needed. It was really beautiful. I thought about that village this week as I was reflecting on our gospel reading for today from blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus lives on the edge of his community as a disabled person in the first century. He is pretty limited socioeconomically. The beggars all gathered at the edge of town, usually kind of near the city gate or like the big roads and leading into town, because they were on the margin of their society, and they counted on the generosity of others, the mercy of others, in order for them to survive. Now, Bartimaeus, kind of being on that road that leads into town, he's heard about Jesus. People are talking about Jesus. And so he's overheard them as they're coming into town talk about his deeds of power and his teaching. And unlike many people who've kind of misunderstood who Jesus is and what Jesus offers, Bartimaeus has this amazing faith, this unwavering trust. Jesus is coming. And he yells out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowds try to hush him, you know, don't bother Jesus. Nobody wants to hear from a beggar, just be quiet. And so he yells out all the more, undeterred, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus trusts that Jesus can do everything that he's heard that he can do. He's healed, he's preached, he's challenged the Pharisees a few times, which means that he teaches with authority. So surely Jesus can help me, Bartimaeus believes. He doesn't just kind of wonder this. He's not just hoping. Like, he knows it deep in his bones, like on a gut level. Jesus can deliver me. And so Jesus calls him, and Bartimaeus comes, and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Well, Lord, let me see again." Jesus, in this story, doesn't even need to lay hands on him. He doesn't even touch him. He just says, "You are released. You know, go. Your faith has made you well." And what's the last thing that we heard in the reading today? But that Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the way. He throws off his cloak, and he gets in line, and he follows Jesus as a disciple. It's a beautiful story of amazing faith, amazing trust. I hear it, and I think, yes, Lord, surely I, too, would have the trust and the faith of Bartimaeus, right? I would. You would, right? 2 weeks ago, we celebrated, it's no big deal, right? 2 weeks ago, we celebrated St. Francis Sunday, and so on that day, October 10th, we changed up the readings from the assigned lectionary readings, and we moved in the St. Francis Feast Day readings, which is a fun day, beautiful day, always a highlight of the year here at Grace Church. But what we would have read that day was from Mark chapter 10, the same chapter we read today, but verses 17 through 31. Today we read 46 through 52, so we would have been reading just a few scenes earlier in that gospel. And these two passages are so close together there in chapter 10 that we have to notice how they talk to one another. We don't want to just pull out a chunk of scripture. We want to see what's going on around it. And so when we hear the story today about blind Bartimaeus, we need to pay attention to two scenes earlier when this man comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" It's a rich man, Mark tells us. Now, in Jesus' day, much like our own, if, you know, you're wealthy, like this man in the story, the prevailing thought is, oh, man, they must be so blessed. You know, they've got it all together. God must really favor them. So successful. So that rich man, he comes and asks Jesus about eternal life. And he's not just talking about heaven or getting to heaven. He's talking about the age to come. And he's also talking about what this life now, the good life, what's the good life now that leads to the age to come? That's what he's wondering about. Maybe he's expecting a pat on the back by Jesus. I'm not exactly sure. But Jesus responds to his question, and he names the Ten Commandments. And the man says, "Well, I've kept all these since my youth." But the one that Jesus doesn't name is this: "You shall not covet." So instead, he follows up and he says to the man, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me." Go and give the money to someone like Bartimaeus. You know him. He's at the edge of town. You've seen him when you've crossed in. Don't covet. Don't be ensnared by greed. But give. Live generously, Jesus is saying. Take care of your neighbors. And then you'll find the good life now and in the age to come. Now the passage ends, that encounter ends with Mark telling us that the man heard Jesus say this, and he was shocked and grieved, for he had many possessions. And he just walks away. Now the contrast between the rich man at the beginning of chapter 10 and blind Bartimaeus at the end of chapter 10 could not be more stark. Bartimaeus has nothing but a cloak, but when he is called by Jesus, he throws off his cloak. This is his most valuable possession, probably his only possession. It's the thing that keeps him warm. It's the cloak that he spreads out on the road as people are throwing coins in his direction so that he can catch the coins and gather them up. So it's his sense of provision and security. It's what takes care of him, right? He throws that off when he's called to follow Jesus. And contrast that with the rich man who has lots of stuff, and he loved his life just the way it was. He didn't want one thing to change. He loved his life even more than his neighbor's lives, even more than Jesus' life, maybe even more than God. His faith is shallow. His trust is in himself, his stuff, his security. And so he wasn't able to give away a thing. And perhaps it is easier to put trust in God when you have less. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, Jesus says to his disciples after that encounter with the rich man. But no matter how much we are worth financially, I think as we think about these two stories, it's important to remember this, that underneath all the layers, all the cloaks, we are all beggars. We're all flesh and blood. We're all mortals, sinners, broken, yet beloved by God. We're all in need of grace, forgiveness, love, and healing, and God wants to give it. That is made clear because of Jesus. In Jesus, we know God's heart. But maybe when we call out to Jesus, the more cloaks you have, the harder it is to cast them off when Jesus calls you to come and follow and to be healed. Now, our cloaks could be any number of things. It could be money and possessions. It could be that certain amount that makes us feel safe or secure or special. Maybe our cloak is a certain image of ourselves in the eyes of others, a certain social standing. Maybe it's about being liked, and that's our cloak. Maybe our cloak is kind of a plan for how our life is supposed to go that we've got up here, and we keep holding on to it, with a clenched fist, even when God is trying to pull us this way. We just keep holding on. The cloak could be anything that convinces us that we can take care of ourselves. We're in control. It's all about trusting in me, myself, and I, rather than God. Who do you resonate with in these stories? Bartimaeus, the rich man. No doubt we all want to resonate with Bartimaeus. We want to cast off our cloaks and follow Jesus, or we wouldn't be here. We all, no doubt, have those moments when we're pulled in either direction. Because following Jesus is not for the faint of heart. Accepting that we're each, underneath it all, a beggar, is a humble task of discipleship. And it's a lifelong task, really. I think the biggest barrier for living this kind of life of faith and following Christ has got to be fear. Fear of what we might lose, fear of what we might have to give up, fear that our plan kind of disappearing or things happening to us in life that we just don't want. Now look, it is good to dream and to have plans. That's a good thing. It's good to save money and to be prepared for the future. That's a good thing. Loving our lives is a good thing. I truly believe that God wants us to have joy and delight and thriving in our lives, but also wants to make sure that we are ordering our lives well. And that's the point of this comparison. We worship a God who humbled God's self, as Paul says in Philippians, even unto death. Jesus' cloak was torn in two. Holy, blameless, undefiled, as our letter to the Hebrews said. God is not unacquainted with pain or grief or suffering that we experience in life. So important. Our lives are often not fair. Our plans are often derailed. Maybe someone loses a job, gets ill, dies. Maybe a pandemic hits now and then and just totally derails lots of things. There's so many opportunities in our lives for fear and anxiety to take a hold of us. And we will all have those moments in life. My kids' counselors talks about those times that fear and anxiety come to visit us. And I kind of like that. They do come and visit us from time to time. Bartimaeus reminds us that faith is about trust, no matter our circumstances. It's about trust and that readiness to cast off our cloaks and follow Jesus. To get to that place, I think, is about a life of discipleship. It's a lifelong practice. It takes daily disciplines in order to do that. Prayer and confession, of course, is huge in that because those things help center us on God's grace instead of our own self-sufficiency. I think this type of discipline takes service to others because when we are serving others, it is a reminder that we're not the only ones with problems, and sometimes we're a lot better off than our fear and anxiety would have us think we are, right? Serving others gets us out of our little world, it gets us out of our head. I think it also takes giving and financial generosity. When we give generously to a church, to causes, to things that make a difference in the lives of others, it's an act of trust. It's a trust that God might have a bigger purpose for us. Giving helps us care for the Bartimaeuses in our midst. And ultimately, giving away a part of our income is and our wealth is a reminder that it is in God, not in money, that we put our trust and our security and our faith. But these kinds of practices, these spiritual disciplines, and there's so many more spiritual disciplines that we could name here, but these types of practices help us to put our trust in God and to do that daily, to be a little more like Bartimaeus than the rich man. And that's the good life, Jesus is saying. This life of faith and of trust and of hope. And sometimes it looks scary to live that way, absolutely, because everything in our society is telling us that selfishness is the way. But this is the gospel way. This is what we're talking about. This is the way of the cross. Through prayer, through cultivating this trust, the goal, I think, is to get to that place where we know deep in our bones, like Bartimaeus, that God will take care of us no matter what. Even if our plans are totally ruined, even if stuff happens to us that we do not want at all, no matter what, God is with us. God loves us. God wants to heal us. God wants to bring us into wholeness and relationship and life. Abundant life, Jesus says. Fear and anxiety will come and visit us, but they will not stay and they will not consume us, because trust in God is what abides. Amen.